The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us
soon. Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Oh, you insulting tongue, and mark my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really Iron Man, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to a Neuroscience episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. Tonight I'm joined by the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
We've also got at PCN_dirt on Twitter. And Bat joining us this week for New York Comic Con week at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Yes, I summoned him now on here.
It's such a large week that we had to have the full cast here.
It's a big, big week.
There was a lot of stuff this week.
Yes. So make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews and news. Follow the Twitter account, at CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Go to google.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/theclicknation. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media websites to stay up on the comic book conversation. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are a part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. Go to their website, coldslitherpodcast.com or cspn.us. And make sure to shop at the CSPN shop to buy Comic Book Chronicles merchandise at www.redbubble.com/people/CSPN/shop. Alrighty. What cover was that for Roddy? It's got a young Iron Man?
It's got a young, yeah.
Is that the lithograph?
Yeah.
So you said they didn't have the hip-hop one, right?
No, they did have that one. They also had this one. They had both of them in. I just didn't pick up the hip-hop one. Cause
oh, okay. Cool.
Me no lucky him at 50 Cent. Yeah.
You know, like you. All right, so let's see what's going on in the cinematic news for the week. Zack Snyder's in talks to bring Watchmen to HBO.
Wait, say that again?
Zack Snyder is in talks to bring Watchmen to HBO.
Like retelling the same story again?
I was about to say, are they just, HBO's going to show the movie again? let's see. Reportedly talks with HBO to adapt Alan Moore's classic graphic novel for the small screen, although there are no details on whether or not the series would be a reimagining of the original film. Reimagining of the original film, a prequel series, or a sequel to the events that transpired in the original film. Collider has confirmed the director has met with the studio on a few occasions to hash it out.
Maybe they'll find some use for some of those Watchmen. Remember the event that they did?
The before Watchmen?
Exactly. Maybe it'll be some use for that intellectual property. Some of the stories in those books.
I'll hold my breath before I believe that takes place. Animated Ghostbusters feature film in development at Sony. So Sony wants to do an all-woman Ghostbusters along with an animated Ghostbusters. Hey, why not? Milk the franchise. Naomi Scott joins Power Rangers as Pink Ranger. A Damage Control TV series may be headed to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
We're happy about this, huh?
Yes, because Damage Control has always been a great series that they've had just kind of come through every now and then.
It's an awesome concept.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Who cleans up after all the big superhero battles? These people.
They did a bad job if they let Hydra steal some of the alien tech.
Well, you know.
They don't always get there first. That's
You know. It's like they come in after S.H.I.E.L.D. or whoever the case may be. But wasn't there one of the miniseries where they did kind of end up finding something? and having to deal with it as opposed to anybody else. I don't know, or they had some internal struggles. But either way, it's a good deal. I was kind of going back and forth on this one because it was like, okay, on the surface, it was like, all right, this is going to be great. And then I was like, how would that work live?
It's
like,
is this supposed to be is this an ABC production?
I believe so, yeah. And it's like a 30-minute comedy or something. Oops.
It'll be interesting because, ooh, you know,
I like if it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, can you imagine if it's like a lot of, you know, like kind of blue collar workers just kind of dealing with the aftermath? That's right. Actually, you know, that's a different point of view than what we're used to in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at this point.
Right. But I figured it was like, you know, that would be something that would probably work better to animate it, oddly enough, because considering they went the other way with Vixen.
Right.
Which, no comparison, not much of a comparison, but still.
Right. Especially considering the cost of, you know, what they want to do, so.
Right. It's like they could do more if Damage Control was animated. But, hey, whatever. We're getting it, and it's probably going to be good, I hope, depending on who they
hope
have
so.
Doing it.
Taika Waititi in talks to direct Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Marvel one-shots may return in the near future. I hadn't noticed that they were gone.
I guess because there isn't one. I presume there is not one attached to Age of Ultron.
I don't believe there was.
Because I haven't tracked down. I haven't gone out to buy the Blu-ray yet. I intend to do it probably after this weekend when my budget kind of re-regulates itself after New York Comic Con.
No, there isn't one.
Right. So I guess that's why you haven't missed it yet, Tim. Because I think this is the first Blu-ray that's come out, Marvel Blu-ray at least, that didn't have a one-shot.
And I think, wasn't the last one...
Was Guardians? Did Guardians have one?
I don't remember. I don't think it did. I think the last one might have been like Iron Man 3 or the last... Or Winter Soldier, maybe? I don't know.
Interesting. So, you know, I guess maybe there's a reason why Tim sort of didn't realize they had stopped doing them because it's been a while since we saw the last one.
Yeah.
All right.
Marvel may have found a screenwriter to pen its upcoming Black Panther movie. Sources tell Variety that Joe Robert Cole, who comes from the Marvel's in-house writing program, is in negotiations to write the script.
To which, and on that note, there is also a rumor, and I'm slightly hoping that it stays a rumor, that F. Gary Gray, actually I don't know, that might work, but F. Gary Gray may possibly direct Black Panther, but apparently he is doing Fast and Furious 8, which has nothing to do with this.
Have they confirmed that yet, that he's doing Fast 8?
I think I just saw confirmation, yeah.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that came out today.
Yeah.
Let's see, you know, I'm going to be lobbying. If I can catch Vin Diesel at Comic-Con this weekend, I'm going to try to lobby to be cast in Fast 8 because it's going to be in New York.
There you go.
Tell them they need to put another Asian brother in there. Come on.
Hey, why not? Let's see. Not sure if this is down further, but looking at this Jessica Jones tidbit, they released in their trailer, a little short trailer today.
Oh, I'm not sure if I put that in there. Oh, yeah. Another one today?
Yeah. You hear David Tennant, however you say his name.
Yeah.
It's like this Jessica looked like pinning a bunch of, I guess, pieces of paper on a wall, and you can hear his voice, I guess the Purple Man, talking in the background, saying like, I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, as she backs away from all the papers she's pinned to the wall, you can, like, see his face in the papers.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, they've been going Fast and Furious. Well, huh.
Ah! it's on the brain, right?
Yeah, that was unintended. But they put out, what, at least that's, like, the fourth or fifth one they put out in the last week or two?
Yeah, it's, like, the third.
Is it?
That I know of.
Yeah. A lot already, so they need to, you know, they're ramping up because I guess they need to make sure people either keep renewing their Netflix subscriptions or get on board sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I guess while we're on the subject now, because I did put this later on, there is a free Jessica Jones book that just came out this week, which I don't know if anybody read it, but we'll get to that later. But you can go to Comixology or Marvel.com or whatever and check it out.
I actually canceled my Marvel Unlimited today.
Huh.
What?
I wasn't using it anyway, so...
Well, this is Tim's concession because he's going with physical copies sometimes.
Yeah.
That too.
That makes sense.
I'll start back up whenever I actually need to use it. I figured they let you cancel and restart up, right?
You can borrow my login. I have it. Never use it.
Thank you. I may, if I need to, I'll take it. But yeah, it's like I've been paying for
the Comic Chronicles account.
I've been paying for it for months, and I was like, you know what? After spending $50 yesterday, let me cancel this.
if anybody from Marvel is watching, this was just a play. This is not really happening. They are not actually doing that.
They did announce for new.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Exactly.
They had, of course, it's a con weekend, so they did announce like a new special for new subscribers. You get like 20 comics or something like that free.
Yeah, I know, and it's like, stuff. Well, what about those of us who have been subscribing for like 4 years? You know,
then if you've gotten the plus, they probably did something for you.
Mm-hmm. That's what Doug has.
Oh, really?
Aren't you a plus member?
Yeah.
Doug?
Yep.
Oh, then if you didn't see anything, never mind.
I think the same thing every time I get the WWE Network emails. Like, there's one saying about 3 free months. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they already got you. What is?
Yeah, every month. And, like, every month they send an email to my free, you know, here's your free month. I need to see if they actually, that's not for current subscribers, I'm assuming.
No, but if you have a secondary email address, or you could just even go to, like, Outlook.com or Yahoo.com and just make up a stupid email address, and you could use that, you know. Just make a new account under there and get your free month.
All right, let's see. Back to the news. Star Wars Episode 8 casts Beyond the Light star Guga Mbatha-Ra.
Close enough.
Sure.
Great googly moogly. Oh, my goodness.
Mispronounced that. Actually, I had a science teacher with her same last name, so I know how to say that at least.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mbatha. At least how he pronounced his. Nope, not reading that. Gotham showrunner promises answer to Jerome's identity, how the Joker came to be. I'm assuming that Jerome guy is a little skinny, creepy looking dude that they were teasing as Joker, but probably isn't really Joker.
Yeah, well, he's been going full Nicholson the last time I saw the show.
Oh, I thought maybe somebody was going to talk about the show.
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't see this week.
No one's watching it.
No, I'm watching it, but I just...
Poor Ronnie. Poor Ronnie, he's the one that's tasked with watching this, taking one for the team.
I can stop when I want.
That's good.
Watching the show anytime. Anytime.
For the last two weeks, I've put in the episodes descriptions how we're, you know, the fall TV started and we're going to talk about it, which I've always gotten to do. Mm-hmm. But since all the shows are out now, I guess we could quickly give our thoughts on new seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gotham, Flash, iZombie, Arrow, at least the ones of us that actually watch them.
Yeah. Sure.
I have not seen any of those.
Really? You know what's funny is that I've only watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far. Made a point to try to catch up on Flash over the next couple of weekends, I guess. You know, I guess I'll constantly be about an episode behind. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. It's always, as much as I have enjoyed that the quality has gotten a lot better, it's always still just like background noise for me as I'm doing other stuff.
So I haven't seen any of the shows this week, so I haven't seen Flash and Arrow start back up. And I hadn't seen, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I have been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the last one I saw was pretty cool. I really want, I'm going to say this until it either happens or don't, I want to see Gemma meet the Watcher, given where she might be, may or may not be.
Yeah, I didn't understand. They never did say where she was, right?
Right, and they're going to go into that. They're going to go into it. But you know what's funny? You know what they've been, you know, so many fans have been asking to see more, you know, super-powered people on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and now that it seems like that's what everyone's going to be. Everyone's going to have some sort of ability or power. What did you guys think of... Dirt, you're not watching this, right? But I'm not spoiling anything by saying that Lash from the Inhumans book appears.
Oh, you mean Sonny's roided out cousin?
Yes. You know, what did you guys think of the look and just the overall presentation of the character so far? Obviously, we haven't really heard much of him, but... you know, I got a kick out of seeing that, you know, newer Inhuman character come out and kind of establish what, you know, I guess what the how far they're willing to go in terms of, you know, introducing the newer Inhuman characters.
See, he is in a book, right?
Yes.
I hadn't been reading, so I don't know, but I knew, I figured you guys were. But, yeah, I mean, the look seemed all right, but like I said, I don't really have anything to go on.
I'm trying to think, did he speak English or did he just, like, grumble and make sounds like a monster?
No, he spoke.
Yeah, he did speak.
He asked, you know, lead me to the Inhumans, I think it was, or something like that.
Arrow and Flash started today, or this week. Both of them had good, strong debuts. The Flash introduced Adam Smasher, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
You know me?
Yep, he was the villain of the week.
Might have to check it out now.
Yeah.
So and, it's kind of funny. I keep notifications on for the CB Cron account to kind of retweet some stuff. And then I saw you, Tim, live tweet, and I was like, let me turn this off real quick.
Yeah.
I only mildly live tweeted Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Try not to spoil too much.
I figured I'll use that for my live tweeting of the comic book shows account for the most part.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So yeah, Atom Smasher, Henry Allen was freed because Harrison Wells admitted to the crimes of killing Flash's mother via videotape. And spoiler alert.
Too late.
All right.
I mean, no one cares about that. Eh. No, yeah, this is more spoiler. I guess Ronnie Raymond is thought to be dead again.
I did see that, yeah.
When season one ended, Flash was racing around in the debris of a tornado or a wormhole or something being opened, and Firestorm had to help him and, of course, blew everything up and probably got sucked into an alternate or multiverse Earth. More than likely, I'm assuming. But they think he's dead. And Jay Garrick appeared at the end of the episode to say that, you know, he's in Barry Allen's in grave danger or something along those lines.
Sure.
All right.
Arrow is more lighthearted this season, but, you know, still has to bring the drama. Damian Dark's the villain. Something else I was going to... Oh, they're introducing magic and mysticism this season. So we'll see how much I enjoy that or not.
Yeah, Constantine is supposed to show up at some point.
Yeah. And they do a flash forward of 6 months ahead at the end of the episode, and someone's dead. Oliver was at someone's grave with, and then, of course, we had to have our Barry Allen cameo as he came to mourn with Oliver. So we don't know which character it is.
Kind of sound like we might, but I don't
know. I was reading an interview with the... whatever the showrunners or whatever, I'm sure they were just probably teasing or whatever, but they were acting like they weren't sure yet who the character is going to be. I'm sure that's a lie.
Maybe.
All right. Let's see. Hasbro confirms 4 more Transformers sequels are in the works. I'm not paying attention until they actually go to, I want to see a Transformers movie set on Cybertron. Then I'll pay attention. Mm. Even that won't be good. But I'll watch it when it gets to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Trisha Helfer coming to season 2 of Powers.
Yay.
Okay. Sony Pictures has more animated stuff in store with a Danger Mouse animated film.
Yay!
More animated news. A new Justice League cartoon possibly coming to Cartoon Network. Actually, it's not possible. I think they confirmed it for next fall.
They confirmed it and then unconfirmed it.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Bastards.
Oh no!
It's on Cartoon Network anyway, so it can't be any good. It'll be good, but they'll mess up the order of episodes and when they're gonna air them and put on hiatus for 3 months.
Negative Nancy, come on, man, cut them, give them a shot. Jeez.
Nope. Bob's Burgers renewed for 2 more seasons.
Yay!
Sarah Michelle Gellar is playing a Jedi hunting Inquisitor on Star Wars Rebels, which starts next week, I believe.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, that show's good.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I'm going to try to keep up with it this season. Let's see. Comic book news.
Oh, so you're just going to slip right past that last one, huh?
Dave Bautista got married. Good for him.
4th time's the charm, I guess.
Yeah,
No!
Not like it's his first marriage, so. But we wish them all the best.
Sure.
And before we get to the comic book news this week, keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit cspn.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends to CSPN a payment that helps keep the Comic Book Chronicles podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon.com through cspn.us. Do it today.
Yep.
Oh, Marvel announces Black Widow from entire Daredevil team.
That's pretty awesome.
Feels like that was a lifetime ago, that announcement, but I guess it was. I guess it was been, 7 days? Huh?
It's fucking cool. Myself. Glad to see it.
Jeff Boyzen joins Image Comics. Who is this?
Former VP Publishing, Planning, and Collected Editions at DC.
Ah, okay.
So he's going to be appointed Director of Publishing Planning and Book Trade Sales. So that's, you know, that's important stuff. That's, you know, that's where a lot of the money gets made.
Yeah, there's a lot of shuffling of comic book people, I see. He-Man will have a major presence at MondoCon this weekend. I'm assuming that was last weekend. Either way, it was in Austin, Texas, or is in Austin, Texas.
I'm sorry, were you talking about He-Man right there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They started the new Masters of the Universe Classics 2.0 toy line. Just went up for subscription sales this past week, so they were hyping up. If anybody's ever dealt with that line in the past, it's been a nightmare kind of off and on, and they're trying now with 2.0 to do things a little differently. They're announcing all the figures up front, which is new. Before, you had to sign up for a subscription not knowing which figures you were actually going to get by the end of the year. So now they're all announced up front. They're doing it every other month instead of every month. It's, I believe, $20 a figure if you buy the subscription as opposed to $25 buying them individually. And you can also have the shipping offset, have them held for a while and then shipped out in groups instead of paying individual shipping on them. So you can save some money that way. So and all the sculpts are based off the cartoon show instead of the original figures. So they're changing things up a little bit, trying to reignite some interest in the property.
Okay.
But I don't know anything about it.
I have some potentially, well, I guess it's breaking, because I'm just saying this, but it's going back to cinematic news for a second. Looks like a rumored Justice League Dark movie is going to shoot next year with Guillermo del Toro producing and Scott Rudin, whoever that is.
Yeah, it's been in the ether for a while.
I thought he had got off of that, though.
Yeah, I guess last time we talked about it, he was not tied to it. But,
But anyway, there's that.
American Gothic Press joins local Comic Shop Day. American Gothic Press is partnering with Comics Pro for the first annual local Comic Shop Day, scheduled November 28, 2015, at participating stores.
And they are the company that does the Famous Monsters line of comics. It'll be Famous Monsters Present, and they've got several different books.
Okay. Dark Horse single issues come to Comixology, which I thought they already had, but...
No, they had just done trades.
Oh, it was just trades.
Because Dark Horse has their own digital store, so they brought all the trades to Comixology, but now they made the deal for individual issues. And in fact, all of the deals, there's been a bunch of deals that have been announced in the last week renewing their deals. All the renewal deals for Comixology also include individual sales on the Kindle store. So people who have a Kindle can pay $3.99 and get the Kindle version, and it'll even work on your black and white e-ink devices. You can download the comics and read them on there.
There you go. Yeah, so that was the next story. David Walker and friend of the podcast, Sanford Green, bringing back Power Man and Iron Fist at Marvel.
Hey,
that's awesome news.
Yeah. Two more, well, with this and the next one will be two more for the physical pull list.
Yeah, I tried to add it to my physical pull yesterday, but of course it's not in the system yet.
Yeah, it's too soon.
I'm learning the ropes of this. David Walker returns to Shaft with a new series and a novel. Yep. So congrats to him. Marvel and FDNY honor real heroes with custom helmets.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, actually. I saw some pictures of, I guess these firemen helmets are going to be on display at New York Comic Con. I'll try to take some pictures of them, but you know, they're being created as part of they're honoring the 150th anniversary, and they're going to be auctioned off. Yeah, the 150th anniversary of the Fire Department of New York City. So that's pretty cool.
Comixology announces free print exclusives, party sign-ins galore for New York Comic Con. Nicola Scott redesigns Vampirella, Deja Thoris, and Red Sonja for Dynamite. I like the Vampirella new look. Friend of the podcast, Frank Barbary, is doing one of those three books.
Cool.
I forget which one. Marvel Comics teases Civil War 2 for 2016. Did you get that? Did you get that postcard at your store? Doug?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The Civil War 2 little teaser. Did you get one of those? I saw some guy tweeted it. I guess one's a comic book shop. He had got their store. It got a Marvel postcard with Cap and New Cap in new Iron Man armor, Iron Man in like a battle pose, similar to like the old Civil War.
And we got Howard the Duck. We got Howard the Duck postcards this week, so maybe we're on the wrong
on the wrong mailing list.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, on the back of the card was Roman numeral 2, and the only other bit of information was spring 2016 to coincide with Captain America Civil War, perhaps?
Yep.
Comic Blitz launches their Netflix Lite digital comic books app. I believe you can sign up and get your first month free, I believe.
It's only iOS only, though.
Lame.
Includes comics from Valiant, Dynamite Entertainment, Aspen, Zenoscope, Action Lab, and more. You can download up to 16 gigabytes of comics for offline reading. Those who subscribe for a membership today will get the first month of service free. New subscribers will also be entered to win prizes from the app's launch publishers. Subscriptions $1.99. So another alternative. Frank Miller's Sin City to Hard Goodbye Curators collection will be published by Dark Horse in 2016. What was this? I haven't read Action Comics 45 yet, but I guess Superman gets a new identity, apparently. Mm-hmm. Marvel Netflix debut a free Jessica Jones digital comic. Mm-hmm. Haven't checked that out yet. Mark Millar launches search for new comic book writers and artists. I still need to think about what kind of story I want to pitch for that. To find out more information on that, go to his Millar World Forums website. It has all the submission information and instructions. Disney Interactive reveals new Disney Infinity 3.0 figure and info on Marvel Battlegrounds playset.
Yeah, it's basically a new Captain America figure without the mask. So this is the original figure right here. And then the new play area is basically like a four-player battleground. I'm not sure if it's like a 4-on-4, or 2-on-2, 4-on-4, or something like that. But it's basically, it seems like something might be pretty cool. And I think it's using all the Marvel characters. And I'm not sure if any of the 3.0 characters, though. But, yeah.
Transformers Hasbro announced Prime Wars Trilogy storyline for the toys, comics, and video games. Coming from The Hollywood Reporter, the storytelling will unfold over multiple media and consumer products for the next 3 to 4 years. Okay.
That's like a long time.
Some sort of transmedia blitz.
Wait, what? M&M's? Can we just jump to that real quick?
Yeah, I was looking at that. It's been a public M&M's about. They supposedly have some that give some spoilers, I guess, for possible story bits.
Bits.
Oh, no.
Comics podcasting gets event fever for secret convergence on Infinite Podcasts.
All right, see, the only reason why I put that in here is because why the heck were we not on the list?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
A bunch of comic book podcasts are doing a, like, 8 podcast crossover event.
What?
No one asked.
And we weren't invited?
We were not.
Oh, come on.
I was invited, but I told him to take a walk.
Yeah. Archer and Armstrong return in A&A. David LaFuente signs on to Valiant as an exclusive artist, and he'll be the artist on the book. And Rafer Roberts, I believe, is the writer. And Image renews deal with Comixology and adds Amazon.
All right.
And Hasbro unveiled their Marvel Legends line at NYCC.
Yeah, so there's a couple of really cool images of some of the stuff that's coming out soon. I saw they're doing a Rogue in the bandana and leather jacket costume that that Jim Lee designed back in the early 90s, early 90s, I guess. And they're doing a classic cap. They're doing a Sharon Carter in an all white uniform.
They're doing a silver original Iron Man.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Hmm. That's I think the Build-A-Figure.
Oh okay, but yeah, some cool looking stuff.
Cool. See, in Variant Corner, Preview 11 variant covers for Titan Comics Assassin's Creed #1. Uncanny X-Men 600 showcases iconic creators for epic variant covers. Titan also debuts Heroes Vengeance covers.
Anybody watching Heroes Reborn?
Not yet.
Mm. I actually got the comic that came out this week just because there's a luchador guy in it, but I haven't read it yet.
And again, the X-Men Apocalypse M&M's announced.
Apparently, it was M&M's.
Okay, I was wondering where I put that. You didn't see that.
No one saw it, but that's all right.
It's only on the internet for posterity.
Of course.
Today's podcast is also sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Go to CSPN.us and click on Keep Our Podcast Free at link at the top of the page. From there, click on My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother slipping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through CSPN.us. Do it today.
And you're about to hear us be real hypocrites about schlepping to the local comic book store.
As we
Maybe
do our
not
schlepping.
All of us.
Says the person that works in the comic store. Sure.
All right, so shall I even ask where the hell should we start this week?
Oh, man, wow.
I have to even finish putting my list in, to be perfectly honest. I totally forgot what I read.
Did anybody read any of the four Star Wars books?
Thank you. That's what I was going
to say. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I got three of them.
If anyone read the Star Wars books, let's get those four out the way.
Best first? Well, we don't know because we don't know what everybody did. But let's go ahead and Star Wars proper.
Star Wars number 10?
Sure.
All right. I read it. Go ahead.
All right. The only thing, this continues to be a good book, but they did something. And I think Age of 70, you might have joked about this, but we'll get to that in a second. So it starts off with, which way does it start off? I can't remember. So there's two parts where Han, Leia, and Han Solo are all running from Imperial forces. There's some nice little banter going on in there between all of them. And I'm kind of starting to like Han a little bit more, with the exception of the potentially crazy ex-wife thing, but... Mm-hmm. You know, there's some good dialogue in there, and she has just enough, if not more, of the bravado that Han usually has. But it seems to be backing it up. You know, with trying to get away from the Empire, that part has been pretty good. And then you have the other side with Luke on Nar Shaddaa, who's just been captured by a Hutt and is now being trained for sport in some sort of arena. And apparently, the Hutt who has him captured has a nice little treat for him in a form of a I was about to say it, but we don't know. Some sort of monster.
But we think we know what it is.
I still think that's what it is, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But the monster on the cover is saying different. Either way, we see Luke here getting trained by somebody and, you know, going through this paces. And then we also find that Chewbacca and 3PO, which is another good part of the book, actually. You know, Chewbacca and 3PO are on Nar Shaddaa looking for Luke. And apparently 3PO got used for bait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was great, actually.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of this issue.
Yeah, and some shenanigans with Chewbacca and a bar fight, you know, in addition to bait, using 3PO as bait. So. Right.
Well, the best part of that was 3PO acting as Chewbacca's go-between.
Right.
You know, and describing to us, you know, kind of giving us some insight into what's going on, because obviously we don't speak Wookiee. We can't read it either.
Right.
So
you don't speak Wookiee, maybe.
So in any event, we have 3PO, you know, explaining what's going on and trying to communicate with the denizens of this this moon filled with rogues or something like that, and thieves and stuff and whatnot. So that to me was my favorite part of the issue. Were you going to refer to my least favorite part of this issue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It happens at the very, very end.
Yeah. A certain species from the prequel series that no one seems to care for shows up and gives a little bit of information to someone at near the end of the book.
Yeah, but it's not the same guy.
No, it is not. But it's still the same
pattern and the look and the
we don't know. It could be him. He might have had
true.
Yeah, the one iPad he got gritty. You know, we don't know what happened to him after everything went down.
That's right.
Well, that's true. Something bad must have happened to him, because we never see him again in the other three movies. So
exactly.
That's right. I love it. I love
it. But outside of that little wrinkle, this was actually pretty decent. I don't think this is the best of the three that I've read, but it was still a pretty decent read.
I thought it was fine for what it was, but it just kind of felt like nothing really happened. This was just more about moving everybody around on the chessboard, getting them into position for what's to come.
Agreed.
Right. Oh yeah, and then
I'm
not even sure if it's going that far. But I mean, we also see, Leia and Han finally find out that, that Luke is on Nar Shaddaa, so they are on the way as well.
Okay. So a little slightly lower quality than some of the previous issues then.
Nah, it's a kind of a, it's a middle issue in the story, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was a decent issue. It was just like the, it was...
There's sure. nothing particularly wrong about it, but there's right. nothing really exciting about it either.
Right.
Gotcha.
That works. That's a great way to describe it.
Well, thank you.
So we're going to go to Vader next?
Go for it.
All right.
I read none of them, so...
I read Slacker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've got a list here.
I'm loving this cover, by the way. I think I said that on the doc. But that said, we have Vader on one side, trying to keep one step ahead of his slightly Sherlockian Imperial agent that's following him around.
Yeah, when you say Sherlock, you're not kidding. There, yeah. even Vader, you know, whatchamacallit, Gillen does a great job of, creating. I wouldn't necessarily say a foil, but mm-hmm. definitely someone who has abilities that, you know, take even Darth Vader, you know, give him pause.
I love how this guy has, like, Civil War era mutton chops.
Yes.
Something awesome about that. I don't know what it is. It's that mix. Because they filmed the original one in the 70s, so everybody had those crazy disco sideburns.
Right. Yeah.
So they just decided with this guy, we're like, you know what? We're just going to go every time period. Here's, this is the guy who served as undersecretary to Ulysses S. Grant.
And I thought about that when I first saw him. I was like, really? They're doing that? But I was like, that, and at the same time, I was like, yeah, okay, that works. It works out. Like, this, clearly this dude's been around a while. So. But on the other side of that, we have, in the background, we have Dr. Aphra on Naboo, apparently looking into aspects of Vader's past, with Padme, when they found the person, the guy who did the autopsy, well, who pretty much prepped Padme for burial, and also knew of her impending status
mm-hmm.
around that time. And apparently Aphra and Vader know this much about that, so they're looking into that, basically trying to find out, and I don't know if this is a spoiler alert, but trying to find out some. Go ahead, edit. Trying to find out whether it was true or the information they received was true that Vader had a son and any kids. However,
kid
the weird part about, yeah, kid, that's the part that's kind of weird because, okay, Aphra goes, interrogates this dude, and by the way, the droids are still, I love the droids in this because they were rather funny, but Aphra goes, interrogates this dude, only gets just enough information to find out whether one part of it is true. But didn't go far away before dealing with dude. So mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, well, wait, you could have gotten more out of him if you pressed it a little bit more. Because I think even 000 even mentioned that. I was like, well, he could have had some more stuff. Well, one of them, somebody mentioned it.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you could have gotten more out of him.
Yeah,
like,
the homicidal droid basically says that.
Yeah. And it was like, no, we got what we need. Let's take this back to Vader. And then that was it. And they torched the place. So that part was kind of weird, but it was still a pretty decent read overall. And apparently we found out that there is another Imperial agent that is looking into Luke's whereabouts,
mm-hmm.
Based from after killing the Death Star. So, and then I think they're racing to get to him first before the Empire does. So that's going to lead somewhere.
Right, that's where these...
Vader down.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's where these series are going to intersect.
Yeah. Again, another good read. This was a little better than Star Wars 10, but not the standout of the week as far as the Star Wars books.
All right, well, you want to get to the last Star Wars book then?
Sure.
Oh, there were two more.
Well, yeah, there were.
Oh, that's right. I didn't read Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The one Dirk did not like.
Really?
I remember he mentioned that. Which I didn't think that the first one was that bad. I mean, just, you know, focus on people we don't really know about.
It wasn't so much that Shattered Empire 2 was bad. It was just more along the lines of, I read three other Star Wars books that were all pretty good, and I started on this one, and I just don't care about these characters. And I just thought, mm-hmm. you know, about the time that maybe 3 comes out, I'll go back and read 2 to read 3. But in a week where there's 4 Star Wars books, and I got 3 really good ones, I was done. I got my fill and ready to move on to something else.
Gotcha.
Sure.
Did anybody finish Shattered Empire 2?
No, I hadn't read it yet.
Just flipping through it just now. Just flipping through it. You could hear me flipping through it just now.
That's one of those ones I said I'd go back and read over the weekend. So.
All right, well then let's get to Lando.
What have we here? I had to go get a physical copy of it since it was the last one.
One thing I noticed on the cover is he's holding his cards so that you can see the cards in his hand. Mm-hmm. But if you look close, the card on top is not touching any of his fingers. Like, it's just floating there, hovering in the air. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be an art mistake that he's not actually holding onto that card, but it almost looks like, you know, he's slipping in a card. It's a fake card that he's somehow sliding into the deck because his thumb is not holding that card in place. I don't know if that's a subtle hint or something or just
a good card.
Thumb, but I just found that to be interesting.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to take a look at my physical copy and see what you mean. Because sometimes these things don't translate when you're looking at it, you know, like on your tablet screen. So now I'm curious. But go on. Who's going to start talking about this issue?
Go for it, Dirt.
I don't have it sitting in front of me.
Oh, okay. So here we have, at the end of the whole, hey, they stole the Emperor's ship. The bounty hunter that is tasked to either get it back or blow it up ends up being someone Lando and apparently Lobot knows from the past.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Panther Brothers, clones, Wakandians, we don't know, who were
crossover characters.
Yeah, who were also corrupted by some Sith artifacts that happened to be in the ship that no one knew about until last issue. And here we're taken out from the fact that, like I said, Chan of Chai, which is the bounty hunter that Lando knows, the Ugnat, whose name I can't remember right now, are trying to get away from the Panther Brothers, who I have no other name for. So what we do is find them trying to figure out, hey, how do we get off the ship and go back and get Lobot and this and that and other. So they're talking about it, and things happen to where China's ship, who was loaned to her, gets away from them because she was not, apparently, you know, didn't take into account of the ship's capabilities. So that's out of the way. The escape pods were all locked down until they got Lobot out of the back of the tank, who was in danger of going, losing his human, quote-unquote, his human self because of his injuries in the first couple of issues.
Right. These implants, basically, you know, the computer that he basically has in his head that kind of co-inhabits with his brain, is always, he always runs a risk of losing control to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's one of the subplots that fought, that I don't think any of us knew, you know, going into the character of, you know, like, I don't know if that had ever been established. I'm sure it was probably established in previous
expanded universe.
Exactly, previous Star Wars stuff. But
well, you know, I just remember when we talked about the first issue, I think it was you, Agent 70, who said something along the lines of, we've never seen him this talkative before. He seems to have much more personality.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was definitely Roddy, because even I was taken aback. Oh, okay. By, you know, we never heard of this guy before.
Right. Well, and I'm trying to give you some credit for something.
Yeah, right? It's all right. I'm just the guy that presses the sound effect buttons. It's all good.
And I guess because of the way this, what happens in this issue and going towards the end of this issue is probably why we don't ever see him talk, because of what happened. Because apparently, spoiler alert, his cybernetics end up taking over at the end of the issue because he was trying to help them get the escape pods unloosed.
Mm-hmm.
So because he could not do a couple of things at work, once while he was so hurt, his computer side took over, which ended up apparently Lando triggers some sort of keyword.
Yeah, pre-recorded message that he's got inside his brain.
And that's where the story ends up, because they get off the ship. The ship ends up getting blown up with, the Panther Brothers are still on board. Chan of Cha takes another escape hatch, who also apparently has some back history with Lobot, because there was a slight allusion within the couple of panels where they were together about something until they split places.
Right.
But yes, there's recorded message plays, because apparently Lobot kind of knew, you know, what was going to happen at some point with dealing with Lando. And then you just see this recorded message of him talking to Lando about, hey, you know, Lando, you're a good person. You do this stuff. You have this skill with people, but you know it gets you in trouble, which has pretty much been the main thing of this whole series. Like a couple of different people saying, including Lobot, it's like, look, you get people in trouble and or killed, because I think even Chan of Cha said that at some point in this issue.
Right.
So it was like, you're good at what you could do, and, you know, maybe you need to go start doing something else and use that skill to better effect. And then that's pretty much where the book ends. It was kind of satisfactory, but I kind of wanted to see it go a little bit further with, like, surely we weren't probably going to see anything happen, you know, dealing with the Emperor, you know? Because pretty much everything wrapped up. Like, the ship's taken care of, you know, the bounty hunters appeased, Lando got away, everybody's pretty much happy. Well, almost everybody except for Lobot, and Lando's probably not happy because of Lobot, but...
Right.
It gave us enough to finish off this story, but still exactly. left enough out there that they could do a second Lando series.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I give them a lot of credit for that. They didn't try to, you know, establish anything that pushed us right up to Empire.
Right.
Right.
You know? It still left us a lot of room to play, you know, with, you know, what happens to Lando between the end of the series and where we actually first meet him.
Although being a fan of the series, it's like, yeah, you kind of take, you have a logical leap from that, from the end of that last page. It's like, well, clearly somewhere in there, he's going to end up where he ends up in right. Empire somewhat directly.
Gotcha.
But yeah, this was pretty much the best of the Star Wars books. Hate to see it go, but it went out in a satisfactorily enough manner, you know, to be okay with it.
Okay.
Let's see, where should we move next?
I was about to say, I was just flipping through something that caught my eye in my pile of physical books this week. I have not read it yet. I picked up a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 50.
Oh.
And I happened to, the reason why I picked this up is because the cover caught my eye. And
it's
I don't know if...
It's very well made. I picked it up.
Right. Dirt, I don't know if you have this cover. The retailer cover. Yep. And what I did not understand until I flipped it open to the back cover is that this is actually Jack Kirby's pencils.
Oh.
And I believe it's Kevin Eastman inking to make it look a lot more like Turtles, but this is actually Jack Kirby pencils.
There was... in the 80s, when Mirage was originally doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle line, there was a series done, I'm trying to remember the guy who did, Thibodeau, I think was the artist's name, who was doing a series, I think it was called like Lost Vikings or something, and it was apparently like a Jack Kirby idea, and this guy's art style was very Kirby-esque, and he was continuing this for like First Publishing or, you know, one of those small Now Comics or whatever, and they did a crossover with the Turtles. So there was a Vikings Turtles crossover. It was like 2 issues or 3 issues. They did a crossover, and I think that's what kind of opened the door for some collaboration and some sketches going back and forth between them.
Interesting. I mean, like I said, I had no idea. I was just kind of struck by how cool the cover was. You know, I paid a little extra because it's the, you know, it's the variant, the retailer incentive variant. But, you know, when I opened it up, and I was literally just flipping through this just to see, you know, because the book has some heft to it. Just like Tim mentioned, it's put together very well. It's like a mini trade. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't want to spoil anything because I literally haven't read it that carefully. But when I flipped to the back, I saw that the pencils were by Jack Kirby. So I'm pretty glad I picked up the retailer incentive version.
Here, hold on 1 second.
Well, I did read it. So.
Oh, nice. Did you review it, too?
No, but it may be my click of the week.
No way.
I liked it.
When was the, what was the last Turtles issue you read?
I'm like 10 issues behind, probably.
Oh, wow. I dropped this like ages ago, so I don't know. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I see.
Well, Doug looks for that. Basically, it's the Turtles are running the Gauntlet, which is, I guess, some ancient...
It's the Kumite.
Ritual. Yeah, ancient ritual where they have to fight Shredder's mutated creatures before getting to face him. So it's them working as a team, as a family to beat them, and then they square off against Shredder while Master Splinter is meditating to try to get answers on how to defeat Shredder. So it's like flashbacks to Splinter and Japan. Shredder as kids in Japan and under the tutelage of their master and how they're... They were both angry kids, but Splinter learned to harness his, while Shredder let his consume him. There's a final battle. Splinter even joins in the fray. There is one victor and a new status quo change, I guess you could say.
And one of the Turtles quit.
Yep.
Again.
Again.
All right.
Again.
If you if you look at my screen share here, I dropped this image into the Dropbox folder. You guys can check it out, but this is the original pencils, pencil art from Jack Kirby. And if you compare it to the cover, it's actually quite a bit different.
Well, this is Eastman really embellishing it so that it looks Eastman more made turtle it much, style.
Yeah, Eastman made it much more of that classic style that you recognize. But if you look at this artwork, I mean, it's definitely Kirby's. If you look at the pencils, you can tell by the muscle work in the shadows that it's definitely his style and his artwork underneath there.
I believe that was another incentive cover, variant cover, like a really rare one.
Oh, the original pencils?
Yeah.
It could be. There were, like, what, 36 covers?
This
was alternate cover week this week.
I literally flipped through, like, 30, I forget how many I said, 30-something covers before I got to the first page of the actual story on the review copy.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's the IDW Gallery exclusive.
I bet those are cheap.
I probably would have purchased this at the store, except when I looked at the price, and it was $7.99. Which was the price of four of the variant covers I also bought Tuesday or Wednesday.
Came up better than you did.
So I was like, yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I kind of still want to get it because how much I liked it, and it felt like a little small mini trade paperback.
I was about to say, at that price point, I think they might still have a couple of copies left.
Yeah, they had like three. Yeah. I'm not sure how many he ordered, but it wasn't that many left.
Alrighty. So that's cool. I'm glad I brought that up.
I guess we can do DC before we get to the super-duper Marvel stuff. Actually, let's stick with you, Dave, because you actually read Dave 2.
Yes. So I read this, and I'm having trouble remembering because I did read this yesterday. Just very basically, you know, we have the aftermath of the events of last issue where, spoiler alert, life forms, let's just say living, breathing life forms have been discovered. Meanwhile, the defense forces that Dave leads, you know, they're running through drills and dealing with various things. This issue is kind of one of those weird, you know, putting things into place issues that we were discussing earlier with what book was that? Star Wars, number 10?
Yes.
All right. This issue is definitely one of those issues where, you know, the conflicts are being set up and, you know, characters are being put into place on the chessboard. You know, not much happens in this issue. It's still a fun read. I think the notable thing that I remember about this is that our very own Tim Dog 98 is on the back cover of the physical copy. His Twitter handle is right here. It's the tweet that reads, quote, "Just read Dave and OMG, I found a new favorite comic at Tim Dog 98.
That's me.
That's pretty.
I tweeted that back in January, I think. Yes, beginning of the year. Because I was in a hotel room driving to Texas.
Pretty cool. So, shout out to Ryan Ferrier. So,
and I did find a copy of Dave 2, number 1. I see my local Second and Charles at least got the first issue. So I bought that a couple weeks ago. So I will also be going this weekend to get that.
You have to get that now.
I did it.
You're on the back cover. You should go there and offer to autograph any of the copies. That's me.
You see who this is? That's me.
Hey, man, can I get a discount because I'm on the back of this book? <Yeah. laughs>
All righty.
I'm a local star.
Right. All right. Yeah, I didn't read any. I read Cyborg, but I kind of had some trouble remembering what happened in it, so I didn't type it into the sheet.
Yeah, I read it too, and
so did I.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, real quick, it was basically like, hey, there's this alien for the same alien. Well, let me skip to that for a second. There's this alien force that was using apparently people, giving them cybernetics. But the reason why they were doing it behind the scenes because they were trying to find, particularly, I think they were trying to find Cyborg. We don't really know.
It's not clear, right? That part's not clear.
But they are pretty much hunting something or someone in order to get the tech that they have or something to do with them. The one, as they call it, or something like that. So here they are on Earth at this point of the book. things are going down. A whole bunch of aliens just happen to pop down on Earth. Cyborg's fighting with his friend he was with at the time. There's a guest star by the Metal Men, who I don't know too much about, but sure, they show up because Cyborg puts out a call to the Justice League and anybody else who was called. But they did go to a way to say, hey, where's the Justice League? Well, you know, these Jokers are popping off all over the place, so they're a little busy. So we get
that. Batgirl is a member of the Justice League.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, wait, was that a thing? Or you know, was, because clearly I'm not reading it, but.
No.
I'm sure they just threw some heroes together for that little montage.
I mean, the Metal Men appeared previously in the Justice League book, so I understand why, you know, they would be kind of like a reserve team that's brought up, but.
And Victor did work with them during that team up or guest appearance.
Right.
So it's suffering from a generic villain or villains.
Well, I was kind of wondering, because it seemed like one of the guys that was implanted or turned, changed, whatever, seemed like he could have been used as a new big bad for Super Cyborg. But as of this issue, that's not the case, because he does show up and nothing that much happens to that character except for, you know, kind of scuffle, and then that gets dealt with for a second. So, but yeah, this was one big fight with Cybergon went in, then they have to get to Star Labs where his dad and other people are fighting because they have a containment unit to keep him out and whatnot. And they meet up near the end of the issue, and somebody shows up from the group who actually did kill Cyborg in the eight page or whatever the case. And it's someone that not only does he knows, but it's someone that is actively in the picture right now. Right. Now I'll leave it there. Because I don't know too much about the character either. So, it's basically somebody that's in the picture right now, and the character that comes from, I guess, the future or whatever, says, "Hey, look, either you're gonna try to fight us, or you wanna try to help clean up the mess your dad made." And then that's where the book ends. So I guess that's gonna turn into something. But it was a decent read, like I said.
It's one of those where stuff unfolds in such a way that you know. Okay, this is leading to something, and this is going to pay off somewhere, but for right now, I'm not really sure what the heck is going on.
Right.
Absolutely. Probably
by the end of the article, where it gets somewhere. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It suffers from a weak villain, I still say, or villains, or a weak threat so far.
Well, it's just random faceless robot alien things, which is always kind of hard to get too excited about.
I think we said this at the beginning when it started. It was like, this is seems pretty much that they're around just to justify the fact that, hey, he got new armor. I mean, he's got a little new look now. And I think that's all this arc is pretty much establishing.
I did see that, I think it might have been Comics Alliance or another comic site, they were making a comparison, because they were saying how this and Martian Manhunter both suffer from having just, you know, generic villains, faceless villains, but Martian Manhunter has the better overall story so far, more compelling story.
And Mr. Biscuits.
Yep. Let's see, I also read...
I was about to say, I wanted to mention, now that I'm going through my pile, I actually did read Action Comics number 45. We were talking earlier in the news about the Alter Ego. I guess it's the only other DC book that I tried to read this week. Lots of development in terms of who may be, you know, we're getting closer and closer to trying to figure out who's behind some of the things that have been happening to Clark Kent and the Superman books in general, because they are starting to tie together. You know, as we've seen, you know, a lot of the villains that have been in the separate Superman books have been meeting. Mild spoiler alert, because some of this news is a couple weeks old. They've been meeting in a room at the end of some of these issues, and if I recall correctly, that's going to lead to all of the Superman books kind of being on the same page once the storyline is wrapped up. So, but you know, in terms of a single issue, it does a lot to help move things along. It helps that, you know, Clark is starting to see that things are connected. There's actually a great little page that Aaron Cooter, the artist, composes that helps you kind of get up to speed with what's been happening in some of the other books. It's basically Clark kind of using his brains and doing a little bit of like kind of war room and detective work type stuff that you would expect to see in the Batcave. But to see Clark do it, it's pretty cool, especially the way Cooter lays it out. So, it's a tough read if you're not up on what's going on in the other Superman books. I'm not as familiar with all the other Superman books, so I kind of appreciated that that page that kind of helped put things in perspective and, you know, connected some of the dots for us. Anyone else read it?
Yeah.
Great cover.
Think, I liked the fact that we've got a new reoccurring side character, supplemental character, supporting cast member, whatever you want to call it. She was part of the storyline before this.
Oh, the lady from the neighborhood, the officer? Right.
Who appears again at the end. And I like the fact that she's being used, because they really could have just, random people in this bunker, but the fact that they brought her back for that storyline, I enjoyed. I like the fact that they're building upon those characters. So if you are reading the book, you are starting to see this new supporting cast emerge. It's not just Jimmy and Lois and Perry White. Those people, of course, make their token appearances whenever there's a Superman story, but because it's a new Superman, it's a new...
Right, and their relationships are different at this point, too.
Right,
from
right.
From what we've ever understood them to be, at least in terms of Perry White and Lois Lane.
Right. So I just enjoy the fact that they're expanding that universe and that he's building more of a storyline with Toyman, who is one of those characters that could be a lot of fun if he's used correctly. And they did some terrible storyline with him and Jimmy Olsen in the past that was just pretty awful. But the way that they're bringing him back now, I enjoy. But overall, I like the book. This is so much better than Superman in so many ways. We had a lot of problems with the Superman book last week, and reading this one was just, this is much more of what I want in a Superman book than what that storyline has been doing.
I think it's Greg Pak having a better handle on what he wants to do in the book, to be perfectly honest.
Probably.
I mean, he's been writing Superman for over a year now, so...
Yeah, he's got a better handle on it.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, nice cover.
It is a cool cover.
I bought this one. This is the cover I bought. The Monsters of the Month variant for Halloween.
Oh, nice.
So... It's good stuff, though. This is the physical copy that I bought, was this cover.
And the other DC book I read this week was Batman and Robin Eternal number 1.
Spoil that for me, Tim. Tell me what happens in this, because I had a tough time skimming through this.
Let's see. There's... Where to start with it? I did review it on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com.
Oh, did you?
I never passed you the link.
I'm oh, sorry. Well, then...
I'd be busy. I forgot.
There's a lot of books to read, damn it.
Let's see. This issue opens with over in Cairo, Egypt, a kid sees his parents murdered, similar to how Bruce Wayne's parents got murdered. We get a quick glimpse of Batman and Robin of the past swinging through the cityscape of Gotham, and then it jumps to the present where Dick Grayson, Red Robin, and Red Hood are stopping some like high-tech criminals or whatever. He's working a case, he being Dick Grayson's working a case for Spiral, where he goes to the Gotham, the grand opening of I forget the building in Gotham, the name of it, but it reminded him of a case back when him and Batman were chasing down Scarecrow, and then these creepy kids try to murder him at the place he's at. He's running away to escape and finds out his Spiral partner, Poppy, is a double agent, and she tries to kill him. He's on the run. Cassandra Cain jumps out to attack him, and they fight.
Oh, that's who that is?
She gives him a flash drive and leaves. Also, earlier in the book, we saw Jim Gordon and Batman chasing after Harper Rowe / Bluebird because he's all anti-vigilantes in his city for some reason. He's against kids getting involved. I'm sorry. The orphan goes after Harper Rowe because she's the most important piece of some puzzle. Dick gets to the Batcave and puts the flash drive in, and a whole bunch of pictures of kids come up on like hologram pictures of kids, and some documents with kids' names on it appear, and it's got Dick Grayson, Timothy Drake, Jason Todd, Harper Rowe, and then a hologram Batman appears and is like apologizing to Dick Grayson because if he's seeing this now, then he must be dead or something like that. And he's apologizing for what happened in the past. And he told Cassandra Cain if something's ever happened to him to give that to Dick. And don't trust Mother. Don't trust anyone. She may have already gotten to them. Blah, 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 that type of stuff. And then it ends with, it jumps back to Egypt when the person that shot the kid's parents, and we find out it was Batman that did it. And he's talking to Mother via like
radio
thing or whatever. And that's it. So okay. Batman murders people. Oh my God. Batman uses a gun.
Like it connected to Eternal, the original Batman and Robin. What was that other one? The other weekly?
Batman Eternal?
Yeah.
Are you asking, is it connected?
Yeah, I'm asking, does it feel like it's a continuation of that same story, or is it just like, hey, here's a new Batman?
It's supposed to be brand new. It's more of a like thriller, which is why they pulled in Tim Seeley, one of the co-writers on Dick or Grayson. It's going to be like a globetrotting, like, not spy thriller, but more just thriller of them trying to figure out what happened in the past and how Mother is tied to all of the Robins possibly being created.
Okay.
But I like it just because Batman's out of the picture and it's going to focus on the Robins.
Okay. So so I presume that this is also going to be another weekly book,
six
right?
6 month weekly.
Is this going into the Robin's War thing that's going to happen at some point? Or
it's going to take it's going to take place the same time. I'm not sure how it'll tie in, if at all.
You were going to say, Dirk?
I was just going to say, I see Harper Row on the cover, and that just makes me not want to read it.
Why are you anti-Harper?
Don't like the character.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. There's so many other good characters they could use, and they use her.
I have no thoughts on her. I do like the Cassandra Cain looked badass in her little couple pages. I know nothing about her. I wasn't reading comics back when she was introduced. So she's a mute, right?
Well, it's a new 52 now. Who knows?
Because I guess I hadn't noticed that she didn't talk when she was fighting Dick, but some other site pointed it out. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But, graphically, artistically, the book looks great. Tony Daniel art. So,
he's not going to be on it.
He'll do three issues.
I was going to say he's going to be like the Jason Fabok Batman Eternal issues. When something big happens, that's when he's drawing it.
But Francis Manapul is listed as one of the artists on the book, future artists, so that'll be nice. Paul Pelletier and some other people.
Okay.
Those are only two names I recognize. So that's my DC pool of the week. Dive into the Marvel stuff.
Let's do the Secret Wars.
I just want to say real quick, Detective Comics that came out this week.
I got a copy of that from DC. I want to check it out. I guess depending on your thoughts, I'll check it out.
I mean, it was good. It's basically the Justice League needs a Batman. They want the detective, and of course that's Bruce Wayne. And they don't know if Jim Gordon is good enough for what they really need. And they want to know if there's any way that they can snap Bruce Wayne out of it and get his brain back, because they really desperately want him. And Alfred more or less convinces them not to. So then they turn to Jim Gordon just because he's the Batman now, and they're basically giving him a test. They're bringing him on a mission to see if he's good enough to be a Batman for the Justice League. So that's the setup for this. And it ends, with a huge question mark of what this case is and what it is they're going to be doing. But I just found it very interesting as the way that you just kind of expected when they did the soft relaunch of Superman and Batman with these new, character types and, in the case of Batman, new character, how they were going to do that with Justice League, and we've got Justice League continuing on as if nothing has happened. So this is playing in that sandbox of how do they incorporate Batman into this. And so he's being given a test, but there's no guarantee because, of course, the rumors are that they're going to be switching back to Bruce Wayne faster than they had originally planned. So there's no guarantee that this is going to work out. And, in fact, this may end up being a storyline where at the end of it they're like, forget you, Jim Gordon, we need Bruce. So I'm interested to see where the story goes, but I like Alfred is really such a strong character in the current Batman mythos. He's much more, when I was growing up, he was always just the guy who brought him sandwiches and hot coffee when he was down in the Batcave, and that's all that Alfred was really good for, but they've done much more with him, made him much more human, in these storylines, and the way he cares about Bruce much more like his actual son, and the way that he fights for right now for everybody to just kind of leave him alone and let Bruce not be Batman, because now he can actually have a real life. Mm-hmm. And I just like the way that they play that with the character.
They must feel guilty that they chopped his hand off.
Well, he'll get a new cybernetic hand, I'm sure, at some point. But no, it's a good read. It's a good read. It's definitely interesting. I am interested in the possibilities of where this story could go, you know, just beyond the fact of, hey, it's Batman with the Justice League.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say they chopped off Bruce's hand or something?
Alfred's.
Alfred's hand. Oh. Mm-hmm. Wait, is it left or right? This is important.
Right.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. I like how the cover, there's like four of the heroes have totally different looks than a couple months earlier. Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman.
Oh, wait, it does fit. So, okay, Alfred is now in the Star Wars universe. There you go.
He is. He's the butler.
Although I did buy this cover. This is the other Monster of the Month variant cover. All right, so are we ready to move to Marvel?
Yeah, yep. I have no other DC.
Nothing jumps out at me as being important, so.
Nothing at all.
Hey, Marvel.
And that's the show for the...
So do we want to just talk about whatever Secret Wars books came, you know, we read first and then get to the all-new, all-different Marvel?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure.
So we should probably do Siege before we do Secret Wars, since that kind of leads into it.
I don't think it's essential, but it helps.
It's significant enough.
I mean, they explain enough. They actually have, you know, they actually lift dialogue from Siege into Secret Wars, so it's
this
not.
This might be the one Kieran Gillen book I've enjoyed, I think.
Really?
What about Darth Vader?
Oh, yeah, he does do that. Never mind.
So well, there's a couple.
He's having a good year this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
There's a couple of things in this. One, so this is the last issue of Siege, and there's a couple of just really great I don't want to say inside jokes, but they're great little bits and funny one-off things that happen in this that made me laugh out loud when I read them.
Enlightened.
So, oh yes. So, but let me just recap what the issue is. Basically, Thanos in the last issue made his way to the Shield Wall, and the members of Shield basically who defend the Shield Wall, you know, are interrogating Thanos and trying to find out what the deal is. And Thanos is actually there to speak to the character that basically makes up the majority of the Shield Wall, Ben Grimm, otherwise known as the ever-loving blue-eyed thing. And the dialogue between these two characters is some of the best stuff I've read in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really, it's really, really very, you know, sharp. You know, the interaction between the two characters is excellent. The panel and the page that Roddy Cat was just referring to was, if you recall, one of the extended members of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they pulled into the series was Leonardo da Vinci. And he comes up with a weapon. Was it the Enlightenment cannon?
Enlightenment gun. Yes. Yeah.
So, I'm not spoiling anything at this point. The S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically protecting one part of Battleworld from the other, which is mostly made up of the Marvel Zombies and the Ultron robots. And Leonardo blasts the zombies with the Enlightenment cannon, and I swear I couldn't stop laughing when I read this. I'm ringing the bell. So when the zombies get blasted with the Enlightenment cannon, you see the word enlightened come across the page, and then the zombies start saying, "I'm a logical contradiction. Me too. Let's lie down."
Yeah, it's almost like they just had this existential conversation. It's like, okay, well, here we are.
And why are they logical contradictions? Because they're the walking dead. Oh, right. Lord. Oh, man.
So it was like, okay, that was a pretty good piece. Which Siege, during the whole run of Siege, has been some pretty decent touches. This is, I think, the farthest they've gone with it, though, because everything else has been pretty much like little stuff here and there and mm-hmm. you know, puns and whatnot. But yeah, this is kind of the way they just went a little further with it. You know, and then later on, when like the part with when I guess that was a part of it that was weird, because it was like you see Michelangelo and Da Vinci, I guess, they were talking to each other, and you also see somebody get blasted or shanked or whatever the case may be, but I guess that was when Ben Grimm got hit or something.
Mm-hmm. That was.
And that's when he started having his, that's when he started realizing things going on, which kind of, I guess, will play into, the reason why it kind of does play into going into Secret Wars much, which will be something we'll get into when we get into Secret Wars.
Where did he get pants from, or shorts?
I mean, he's always had them.
Yeah, I mean, he just sort of created them out of his own being.
Okay.
You know, but the best part of this, was actually kind of reading Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Thanos was saying. And then, you know, I can just, I can hear it in my head. He's basically yelling, you know, he's asking Ben Grimm, what time is it, Ben Grimm? What time is it? And you know what's coming, and you still get a kick out of it.
Right. Yeah, it's like Thanos just comes in and is like, look, he's basically been playing them to a certain point. He's like, no, he got captured. He just came here to do this, but something's already been set in motion due to him. Mm-hmm. That ends up playing out like while they were interrogating, and then that's when they start going to, this was after he talked to Ben Grimm. You know, and then it just starts going into that, and things go off.
Is this the same Thanos from the Infinity Gauntlet Secret Wars series, or is this a different
Thanos? No, this is
This is the 616.
The lifeboat. Yeah, he came from the lifeboat.
They made reference to the Infinity Gauntlet Thanos in what, issues 2 or 3? I forget. Because they're like, they're searching. Abigail Brand is searching for the creature. They don't know his name's Thanos.
Right.
But they keep referencing the one that's searching for a gauntlet, and they're like, no, not that one.
Right, yeah, you're right.
I like how Thanos is, he doesn't actually fight anyone in this issue. All he does is speak.
No, he's like,
cool, calm, collected Thanos.
Yeah. No allusions to killing trees or anything, or, you know, he just kind of comes in and...
Yep.
Yeah, I really got a kick out of reading this issue. I was very pleasantly surprised by how effective this issue was.
Yeah, and it ended the way you figured it was going to. Mm-hmm. Things went really bad, and people scattered.
Right. So how interesting is it that this issue, of all the crossover issues, really does play a role in the greater Secret War story?
Yeah, I mean, and you kind of got the sense of that with all the 3 issues of stuff, that, hey, stuff's starting to come together and kind of, you know, touching other books and that kind of thing. This is just really where you start seeing a direct, okay, this is clearly going to go into, you know, the bigger book in a way. So it was good to see.
Definitely, definitely.
Any other tie-ins read this week?
Yeah, just very quickly, Old Man Logan, this finally establishes the new status quo.
We finally
get to the point where Marvel wants us to realize, I mean, we know what the ultimate end of this story is, which is mild spoiler alert, that Old Man Logan, this particular version of Old Man Logan, has found himself in the Marvel, what I guess is going to be the new Marvel 616.
How there's the scenes where he's Old Man Logan's eating, being fed by the X-Men, and I'm assuming it's the X-Men from 616 and 1016 or whatever the Ultimate Universe is called. Why is Adult Cyclops there when he was supposed to be on the Laugh Raft and he's dead?
I think it's just a random. It's just a random existence. I think.
Yeah, I don't think there were bunches of them in Siege. So.
Right. I don't think this is the 616 per se. I mean, obviously, you know, Doom still makes an appearance in this book, or at least the image of Doom and the concept of Battle World is still in place up until the very end. So, but like I said, you know, one of my biggest criticisms of this Old Man Logan book is that it didn't really have much of a story to tell. This entire 5-issue series could have been told in 1 issue, which is we move from.
Hey, it's a Bendis story.
Exactly. Exactly.
But does it have witty and sharp dialogue?
What's that?
Does it have witty and sharp dialogue?
Sometimes.
Well, that's a Bendis thing, right?
Right. Right. So, you know, I guess I shouldn't be as surprised as I am or as annoyed as I am, because it is a Bendis book after all. But, you know, as I said, the story could have been told in 1 issue. The transition from Battle World and the reality of Old Man Logan, the dimension, whatever alternate dimension he resided in, and how he gets to the Marvel Universe proper. So that's pretty much the entire 5 issues in a nutshell.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right.
Just because I need to see how Ultimate End ends also.
Mm. That's a good point. All right. So, Secret Wars?
Was that it for tie-ins?
I think so. What other tie-ins came out this week?
Spider Island, 1602.
Other one of those.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I mean, that's it for what I got.
Right. Yeah, same here.
We do, I guess, anyone read Avengers Zero or the Point One issue?
I read Avengers Zero. It was pretty good.
Well, wait, you want to get into Secret Wars before
Secret
we get
Wars
into
Secret Wars number 6? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's just
Oh, yeah, that's
Secret
right.
Wars.
That comes first. You're right.
Let's just do Secret Wars. So, you know, this is just the next progression. You know, we're starting to get a little bit closer to the end game now. So we see more...
threads unraveling?
Yeah, threads unraveling. I was about to say more weaknesses being exposed in terms of how Doom, you know, Doom's grasp of control over Battleworld is slowly starting to loosen.
They use their new favorite mechanism of doing the time jump 3 weeks ahead. Mm-hmm. Let's move the story along 3 weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. And yet we have an extra issue coming of Secret Wars, so go see how that works out.
Right, which is funny because, you know, we've obviously criticized this book and the event for being behind, but it's so funny that they've actually, you know, accumulated enough story and content to warrant another issue.
Yeah.
You know, is that just Esad Ribic not knowing how to lay this stuff out? Is this just, you know, Hickman just having that much more mumbo jumbo to try to squeeze in?
There is an article that will go into that is in the second section, but I didn't have time to actually read it. So there is an explanation why there is an extra issue.
Okay. I'm going to have to read that. I'm going to have to get up on that.
But as far as this issue is concerned, let's see. Valerio was looking into Stephen Strange's death, but things seemed fishy, so she was trying to go deeper, but she was kind of toying with whether she should or not, because, you know, she don't want to, assuming she doesn't want to anger her father, but she knows she's going to go somewhere that, you know, she probably shouldn't be.
Well, she even says at one point, at the end of the day, I'm just a kid. I'm not emotionally prepared for that kind of stuff.
Right. I love that.
That was something I really liked in the story, that they did that, because that's, she is the type of character that would say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because she's got, you know, she has that genius level of intellect where she's self-aware to a hyper extent.
Right. Unlike her father, who would be like, I know this, but I'm still going to do whatever. Which I enjoyed the little banter between, because we also come across people from the Life Raft, in this case the two Spider-Men, Miles and Peter, who are also, you know, looking around, and apparently there's a bunch of probes sent out by 616 Reed Richards, and him and the Maker are having their tete-a-tete, whatever.
Yeah,
so
Ultimate Reed Richards.
Right. So the Spider-Man end up finding out where the Molecule Man is.
Right.
And which preceded, well, which came right after them talking to Valeria, who said the line that Dirk spoke of.
Right. And she's all, well, they're both on parallel missions.
Right.
Which is to look for the source of Doom's power.
Right. And Valeria's like, well, I'm not going under, but you go ahead, because that's what she said. It was like, I don't need to see this. This is, I'm not prepared for this. And then we get to a really nice, back and forth with Peter and Miles after they find Molecule Man, because he's like, hey, did you bring something to eat? And they're like, nope.
This is one of those random things that also made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, and then Miles is like, oh, wait, I got a burger. And then Peter's like, wait, you
got a
have
burger
a burger
in his pocket.
For, yeah, like,
about eight years, 3 weeks.
Exactly. It was like, wait. Was like, no, I didn't count suspended. We still have a 3-week burger. I was like, oh, wait. Maybe I should have given him that. So, and that was really good. That was really, really good.
Yeah. I give Hickman a lot of credit for that particular exchange. That made me laugh, and I really had a hard time stopping laughing at that point.
Yeah. I was like, all right, just throw that in there. All right, I'm with you. So, but then the rest of the book ends up being, we see basically the stuff in Siege with Ben Grimm, you know, the dialogue that happened between with Thanos and Ben Grimm, and then him leaving the wall and presumably coming, well, because so he was heading north, so presumably he is heading towards where Doom is.
Yeah.
But another underlying part of the story is it kind of recaps where the Fantastic Four are in the various places, because you see Sue talking to Franklin about some supposedly made up, some story, a bedtime story, but we actually see what happens to everybody except for Ben, but we know what happened with that. Like, exactly. Johnny was made the son, Ben, you know, well, it wasn't being alluded to, but we know he was on the wall. And the original makeup of the Fantastic Four in the story was not Reed. It was their father, Dr. Storm.
Grandpa.
And Grandpa, exactly. So we get that, which kind of tells me, it's like, well, clearly Ben's coming from the wall. We know where our Reed is, and they even, you know, talked to that, like, Reed even knows what's going on. Well, he doesn't. He knows what's going on, but he sees, like, they had sent out a drone out, and they see Sue, and he's not too pleased about Sue being with Reed, June. So, and then Sue's oblivious to his existence. And then the only part we don't have now is Johnny being from the zone, which I don't know if that's ever, has that come up anywhere in any tie-in?
No.
So I assume at some point he's going to come in.
Yeah.
And then the effort is just going to be back together at some point. And,
right. What's interesting about, and I think I may have brought this up because it's, I think there was an article about this where it might have been Axel Alonso in one of the weekly pieces he does for whatchamacallit, for CBR, or it may have been in the podcast that we were talking, that I was talking about last week with Andy Greenwald on Grantland, where, you know, one of the things that people have been saying, at least in terms of the conspiracy theorists, that Marvel Publishing, at least, is putting the Fantastic Four on back burner. And Alonso's response to this is, look, the characters of the Fantastic Four are front and center in the biggest crossover event, you know, in recent memory, Secret Wars. They're right there. This is a Fantastic Four story. You know, this definitely revolves around the main characters of the Fantastic Four.
Well, and the thing is, Hickman wrote the Fantastic Four for a long time.
Right.
Before and that laid terrible...
the seeds, right. And I think laid the seeds for a lot of the stuff there.
Yeah, before the terrible Mark Waid time-traveling series that was quickly canceled. And I saw, like, when I was talking about...
You mean Matt Fraction?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Fraction.
Whoever it was, that was god-awful.
Yeah, but that anyway, was not good.
But that was what I was talking about with the stuff that's going on with the family. All the family members, they feel like that's who they should be. Like, every member of the Fantastic Four is true to the character. Even though they might be from a different dimension or they might be a different version, they're all playing exactly to type. Mm-hmm. And so I like the idea that even, you know, a lot of these Marvel characters, even though we're seeing these different universe versions of them, they're all still pretty true to themselves. You know, you're not... seen, you know, well, suddenly here's Spider-Man, but he's a giant jerk who punches people in the face and cuts off their feet. You know, there's nothing that's so bizarre and out of place. And the Fantastic Four being in the middle of this story, it's like this is their story. They are the ones that are anchored to all this, especially because it's Doom. I mean, Doom is going to pull them in as, you know, a big part of that. But I just like, we got the Infinity Gauntlet, you know, in this issue. I hadn't read Siege before this, so when they got to the part with Ben Grimm, I was like, this is awesome. And you have that scene where he breaks out and starts lumbering, you know, across the landscape and just like, oh my gosh, this is, yes, great. Yeah. Like, I was so excited because this felt like a continuation of Hickman's run that he did several years ago that I loved that Fantastic Four. You know, I read all of those up until the point where they killed Johnny Storm and then brought him back in less than a year. That was the part that pissed me off in that run. But, you know, otherwise, I was so happy and excited at the end of this one. I'm just like, I want the next issue now. Like, it's been delayed so long, yes, but at the same time, watching Thing jump out of there and watching the Infinity Gauntlet on Black Panther's hand.
Yes.
And, you know, all of these little pieces. Sue telling the story, and you're not quite sure, is she telling the reality that Doom created for them, or is she going along with it? Like, is she telling the story that has to be told in order to cover up some of these other secrets? Because when he asks about, you know, Ben, well, what happened to Ben? Well, that's a story for another day.
Exactly.
Like, does she know what happened? Or is
but I think that was just, I think that part was just a product of, okay, that part's going to show up in the next part of the book. That's why that part was just kind of like, that's another story. And,
right, but it opens up that possibility where is she playing along or is she, you know, brainwashed into this?
I took it as these Fantastic Four characters, like that story she told, that felt like a Fantastic Four from an alternate part of Battle World.
Right. But the fact that she wouldn't say anything about Ben, so
oh,
is she
yes.
covering what happened with Ben, or does she not know and she just whatever, you know, Doom just tells her, don't ask about that. So she just says, okay, well, I'm not going to say anything about it, you know? It gets my mind racing, and it gets me excited.
So here's my theory about this, because remember, she was on the other arc that the guy got broke away and ended up being into whatever time stream or whatever that ended up being Battle World. So I'm thinking that she might have been, this is, you know, Doom fed her, you know, the story that Doom maybe fed her.
I forgot that. That's a good point, Roddy.
Yeah. However, it is probably still her, but like I said, those memories, it was just over her real ones.
The fact that we can sit and debate these story points just, you know, says how good the story is and how much investment we have into it. The fact that we're thinking this deeply, as opposed to some of these other books where we read and it's like, well, that didn't really make sense, but who cares? Let's move on.
Right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, I love this issue.
Yeah, this issue was really good. And like I said, the part with Black Panther getting the Infinity Gauntlet and that whole...
I just like seeing him and Namor back together.
My favorite part of that was Namor saying, I'm the one that makes bad decisions, or whatever, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and they were even talking about, like, why are we not fighting?
I can't be trusted.
Yeah, exactly. Which, weird, it almost sounds like a parallel between Strange and Doom, if you think about it.
Yeah, because Strange said he didn't want the power.
Exactly. So it seems like maybe that's me reading into things, but that's what it seems like.
Is Mr. Sinister in one of these crossover titles?
Yes.
Yes.
Which one?
Yes.
Which one? Is it Battle World or Secret Wars Battle World, one of those little anthology books or something?
No, isn't there, not Inferno. Is it Inferno, or it's one of them?
You're thinking Age of Apocalypse, but the one that keeps showing up in Secret Wars is a baron of his own domain.
It's one of the X-1s that don't mean anything.
No, I don't think so. Unless it's one of the ones I'm not reading, like Extinction, E for Extinction, or...
Maybe, I don't know. It's definitely one I'm not reading, but I know that has been alluded to him being a baron, but I felt like there is a book, but I don't know which one it is.
Because there's also a scene with Mr. Sinister and a Sinister Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. And I really like that scene, too, because he's... he has some kind of really bizarre relationship with her that I'm not quite sure exactly how that plays out, but...
you know how that plays out.
They're apparently planning something here as well, so I want to see where that plays out, too.
Mm-hmm.
So just so much about this book, just I like. It's hard to dislike this series.
Yeah, it actually has me wanting to go see a couple of those tie-in books just to see what happened in them, because the stuff that they... bring up and allude to there is like, I know this happened, but...
A lot of it doesn't happen anywhere else.
I'll put it this way. I liked it so much that I asked you if Mr. Sinister is appearing in another series because I'm willing to dig it out and read it. That's going to tell you something about how much I like this book.
Right.
Yeah. I'm willing to go find Mr. Sinister.
You can't go and learn about Sinister and Carol in any of the other series. There's no series.
I'm reading Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. I mean, I have all those.
But that's not the same Carol, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that's not who
that has to be. Like, it has to be like Inferno or Evil Extinction.
It's not.
It has to be one. Okay, so I don't. That's weird.
That story's not told anywhere else. The how Namor and Black Panther travel across whatever sea isn't told anywhere else.
Well, no, everybody got scattered, but they probably just found each other because they even allude to like people just like they're probably.
You think if you're going to do a bunch of tie-in series, you do some tie-in series that revolved around, hey, here's what happened to all these characters when they got scattered across the battle world.
In a couple of cases, but yeah.
Only book to do that was Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord.
Right.
Jane Foster Thors with the Thor hiding amongst the Thors. That's not being told in Thors.
We don't know. I mean, that
we
might...
We don't know yet. It's not over yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to that book?
What, 2 weeks?
Delays.
I love it.
I went back and bought all those books. But anyway.
Secret World. That was Secret Wars.
Yeah. I think we're done with that one.
Yeah. Avengers Zero or the Point One.
Really
I started reading the Point One and I saw it was like 50 something pages. I was like, I'll finish this later. But I didn't read Avengers Zero. I actually liked it a lot.
Avengers Zero was good because it basically sets up the new status quo and it interweaves what the role of the new Squadron Sinister is supposed to be, or Squadron Supreme.
Yeah.
My favorite bit was the lead-in into the new Uncanny Avengers.
That was cool.
With Deadpool.
Hey, the artist followed me today on Twitter.
Who, Stegman?
Yeah.
Nice.
No, I just saw that there. He was Twitter searching. He was doing a Twitter search. I see. He responded to one of my random Avenger Zero tweets for some reason.
Sure.
And then, because I was saying there was some breakout. There was a breakout star for me in Avenger Zero, but I didn't say who it was. I actually think it's Al Ewan, because I enjoyed both his stories.
Yeah, he's been pretty consistent. Like, the New Avengers. It's been pretty good. Mighty.
I thought the New Avengers stuff was funny. Like, all the little, you know, glimpses of stuff to come in the future. It's like, was it Songbird or whatever her name is? It's like, there's a traitor. And then next page, Hawkeye's like, yep, that's me. I'm the traitor. Because, yeah, that, I think, that refreshed my memory, because he actually is the traitor, quote unquote, because the Avengers send him in to keep an eye on Sunspot and them to make sure they're on the up and up. And it's like an open thing that everyone knows about. Right. I think that's like the running gag through the book. Mm-hmm. And the Ultimate story was kind of cool with Miss America Chavez.
And Black Panther?
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm trying to think who else. I'm not sure about the whole Vision thing, erasing his emotions, I guess. Is that what it was? How do you erase your emotions, but then you have a solo book where you have a family? I guess he wanted to erase his old memories and maybe start new ones, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. Not the first time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that book, by the way.
Wasn't that a plot line in West Coast Avengers?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
They took him and disassembled him and erased all his memories and couldn't get him back. So
they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together?
So, yeah, so that's when he ended up I guess that's when the marriage got annulled or whatever the case may be, because I don't know you.
And I thought it was funny, I was reading what turned out to be the A-Force story. I thought that was like something for Captain Marvel's solo series. Because I was like, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be like a bunch of team stories. And I forgot that she was going to have Alpha Flight as like her recon team.
I didn't know that.
Oh,
that
really?
That was new to me.
Yeah,
I think that actually has something to do with her solo book. That's what I'm saying. That had nothing to do, I guess it, quote unquote, does have something to do with the A-Force book, because it had that singularity chick, I guess.
Right, exactly. Right, that was the main part of that little mini story, was to introduce the singularity character into the Marvel Universe proper.
But all the rest of it seemed like it dealt just with Captain Marvel's solo book, her being the new sword, quote unquote, of the Marvel Universe, being the intergalactic or galactic.
Right, but maybe that's where A-Force comes into play.
I guess. But, you know? Yeah, she's going to have Alpha Flight in her solo book as, like, her team. I remember reading that somewhere.
Interesting. I did not know that.
At least use them, might as well.
You got to put those Canadians somewhere. Put them in space.
Yeah.
Put them in the ground.
Anyone read the point one?
No. Couldn't get to it.
I thought there was a. Listen, I'm just skimming through Avengers Zero. I thought there was a new universe illusion here, and I was starting to get excited for a second. I mean, outside of the Squadron Supreme stuff.
Is anyone excited about Squadron Supreme?
Yes, no.
I'll check it out, but
I'm kind of torn, because I'm reading. You know, like I was reading the Avengers Zero stuff and how Hyperion. You know, like it's a weird character shift for him, because you know we know what the premise is. Like, these are Squadron members from across the Marvel Universe. You know, different realities, and you know, smooshing them all together and forcing them to work together is one thing. But it's just weird to see Hyperion, the character that we've seen Hickman develop in the Avengers books, and some of the other characters, some of the other writers like Frank Barbieri, you know, kind of develop the Hyperion character as like this. He's almost like an ingenue type. You know, he's just like kind of innocent, and he has got a real straight, you know, moral compass. And he does things for what are supposed to be the best reasons, with the best intentions. And to see him, you know, kind of divert from that is a little off-putting. But I guess that's a reason to read the book.
Mm. And I guess that Captain Marvel stuff was an origin story, seemed like, for somebody or for that character.
The singularity character.
Right.
All right. So are we in All New, All Different?
Yeah.
Invisible
Iron Man.
All right. So before we jump into that, let's just talk about very, very quickly the hip hop covers that came out this week, because this is coinciding with the All New, All Different. So you wanted to start with Invincible Iron Man?
We can.
So Invincible Iron Man.
Got my copy.
50 Cent. I know Roddy didn't like this one, but I picked it up because the completest collector in me decided to try to get it. So.
Did you have to pay a high premium for any of those covers?
No.
I did.
No. Not at all.
I had to pay $7.99.
What?
I paid $10 for two of them.
Damn. Excuse me. Yeah, Jer, was your store charging a premium for these?
We did not get any.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
We did not qualify.
One of the, I guess, few perks of living in big city with the biggest comic book store in the freaking world is that...
You get a discount with your subscription.
Well, there's two parts to that, right? My little itty-bitty hole-in-the-wall shop gives me a great... Carmine Street Comics. Shout out to Carmine Street Comics. Gives me a great discount for being a pull lister, but they also suffer from being a small shop. They could not hit some of those order quotas that we've been complaining about when it comes to these variant covers. So what they were able to pull was the Invincible Iron Man and the Amazing Spider-Man one. So I got these two, and I decided to hunt down the Contest of Champions cover and the Doctor Strange cover at Midtown Comics because I knew they would have them. And they had plenty of them.
Nice.
Right.
I actually didn't mind paying extra.
Yeah, I sucked it up.
Well, you know, because ultimately, like, if you don't have much of a choice, you know, you pay a little bit extra just to make sure you get it, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of upset I didn't have time to go by Second and Charles because sometimes they'll just get some loose variants here and there, and I probably could have paid a little bit less. But I went to the one shop I was telling you about a little while ago, the new shop that opened up down the street. And surprisingly enough, they have, like, they have a decent wall full of the new stuff, and then they have this one section near the character register where all their variants of. They have, like, variants for other stuff, like Secret Wars and other older stuff. Like, they had some books. Weirdly enough, they had some books on their shelves. Like they had Thor's, like, all four copies of Thor's just out there.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to assume it's because it's a newer book, and they're just, newer store, and they just don't have a full stock to do whatever with.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, they had a nice little line up, so I just bought some of that stuff up in addition to, you know, my nice little three variants here.
So this is our first week of hip hop variant covers, and I was glad to be able to track them down. I'm also glad I didn't decide to plop down and try to order them all. I mean, yes, it's a little bit more of an effort, but it also gets me going to Midtown and just seeing what's going on there and picking up whatever random ones, whatever random hip hop covers I want that my regular shop doesn't get. So.
So, I guess, to the actual story inside the book, the pages were pretty, I'll say that. And actually, like, the story overall was fine.
I didn't mind the story. I like the story. I like Marquez's art. I like what I liked the most was just the intro to the new armor, you know? The reasoning behind it, his thinking behind it, the thought process and designing it. You know, that was fun. Where the story went after that, you know, it's... You know, without spoiling too much, what did you think of where, you know, we found ourselves and the character that appears at the very end in sort of like a cliffhanger?
Yeah, so that was unexpected. I managed to not get spoiled.
Okay. Same here.
But, I mean, as big a surprise as it was, I wasn't like, oh, my God. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Okay.
Well, it's one of those things where you go, is that a Secret Wars thing? Like, is that because of the end of Secret Wars? Because we haven't gotten it.
Right.
We're supposed to have been reading it this week, and it's, you know, pushed out so far that it's hard to tell. Is that something that happens at the end of that series, or is he possibly looking at a Doombot, or, you know, is there some other, some other machination going on here? I don't know if this is something I can get excited about yet because I'm not really 100% sure what's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I think we had to have that kind of caveat going into this because Secret Wars hadn't ended yet.
And
you know,
probably the best looking book that Dave Marquez has done, I believe. At least
I don't know about that. I really like the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff.
I think this
book is sharper though.
Yeah, this is looking great.
I mean, there's some sharp-looking stuff in here, you know. I love how malleable they've made the armor, you know, because it's supposed to be kind of like a, you know, adaptable and whatnot. So the effects that you see in some of the preview art for the next issue are pretty cool that Marquez has kind of put together in the design.
I don't know. I kind of feel like they simplified it to the point where it's going to be much easier to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't look... I don't know. Before, it always had all these different panels and sections that, it looked more like a suit of armor, whereas this looks more like...
a bodysuit.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I like it that much. It's just a little too streamlined, a little too simplified. Looks more like the Iron Man armor from the CGI cartoon that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sometimes simple is better.
Well, and maybe that's what they're going for. I mean, maybe they want something that's much more simplified, that's easier to deal with. And
you want conspiracy theory?
Sure, go ahead.
This makes it easier for them to make a toy with pin-on or clip-on accessories. Because that's exactly what this is.
It can transform into all his other armors, right?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So it's just it's the basic Iron Man armor, and they can clip on every single accessory, and it makes it easier to sell action figures.
Oh. Devious.
Although I loved just the small things in this story, like the appearance by Thor.
Yes!
That was one of the best uses of a cameo I've ever seen.
That was good. I don't know if the Odin son would have ever done that. I think.
I don't know. I think he would have been down with it.
Yeah, he probably would have been more down with it. Come to think of it.
Yeah, so that was it was a nice little fun little gag.
Yeah, and I'm skimming through the book. I was like, I'm seeing these little touchy talking about, and it's the old people that show up, and even. I'm sitting here thinking, wait, the person that shows the reveal at the end of the book seemed like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, why they couldn't wait till 50 for this like they used to do? But that's just me, so.
Well, again, it might be a Secret Wars thing. We just don't know.
Sure. That. And Friday's back. Great. Yay.
That was a fantastic character. My Girl Friday?
She was, wasn't she like an AI for a second, then went crazy and he had to get rid of her?
Something? She was Friday with the periods between every letter. I think she was being used pre Secret Wars. I think.
Oh, was she? Okay.
I think you couldn't see her like body, her hologram body though. I don't know.
One thing I will say is I enjoy reading an Iron Man book where Tony Stark does not look like that dude from Lost, which was the thing that they did for Greg Land when he was drawing it. He was using from Lost as the photo.
Oh, he was using Jack, wasn't he?
No, he was using Sawyer.
That's the blonde guy, right?
No, I've got to Google this because I don't remember. I just hate Greg Land, so I always try to block that out of my mind. You know that.
But overall, I enjoyed the book. I mean, I definitely, I was pretty sure I would, just because it was the same team from Ultimate Spider-Man, and I loved that book too. So I figured I would at least enjoy it mildly, and I was pleasantly surprised by how good it was, how funny it was, and how it has a lot of that, wink and the glint in his eye, you know, the tinkle in his eye, the tinkle. The twinkle in his eye, not the tinkle in his eye. That's a completely different comic.
A little bit.
I liked it. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it was like one of the greatest relaunches in history, or it's the one. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be the best one, and the one that they should have wrapped all of their hype about the relaunch of, you know, this whole new era of Marvel Comics around. But it was enjoyable.
Mm. The little stuff I've just skimming through it, I'm kind of curious now, because I hadn't picked up an Iron Man book in a while, and I used to collect them a good bit, and the stuff I saw in here kind of made me curious to check this out for a couple of issues. So.
Yeah, until you're, we're 10 issues in and we realize nothing's happened yet.
Bendis!
I was about to say, six issues and he just leaves the book. It's like, no, I just wanted to start it.
That's funny.
No, that doesn't happen. It'll just be, like I said, it'll be a year have gone by and nothing of consequence would have happened. You'll see more development in Avengers, probably.
He's written the scripts for this book already, probably.
He's what?
He's written 2 years worth of scripts for this book already, probably.
You think he actually plots that far out?
I don't know if he thinks about it as he moves.
I'm about to say, if you told me that as a fact, I'd probably believe it. It seemed like something he would do.
Okay, so that's for Iron Man. Let me hear about Amazing Spider-Man.
Awesome. I haven't
got into it yet.
It's awesome. Okay. I liked it. I had a lot of fun reading this.
An open cover here.
So this is globetrotting Peter, right?
Right. We definitely pick up on a lot of the threads that Slott established in the run prior to Secret Wars. We kind of do a big, there's an 8-month jump, and we Peter Parker and Parker Industries goes along, has come a long way in 8 months.
Yeah, since it's become Wayne Tech and Batman Unlimited, Batman International, whatever that was.
You know what's funny is that one of the plots and one of the key story points is, spoiler alert, let me get the bell, is that Peter basically makes himself out to be a more humane and you know, he, I guess the running joke is that he's the poor man's Tony Stark.
Mm.
You know, he's developing tech, you know, to make the world better. The line is to make the world a place worth saving, you know, as opposed to helping to save the world. So, you know, there's a lot of cool little things in here. Mockingbird makes a cool guest appearance in this. The Spider-Mobile that we weren't sure we were going to like, I actually got a real kick out of. You know, the bottom line is, actually, you know what, there's one thing that was funny about this. This book and Invincible Iron Man had very large elements of their story, large portions of their story take place in Asia, specifically in China. And I found that kind of interesting, trying to increase the global appeal of these books as they're being distributed digitally.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But otherwise, you know, the story, as I said, is about Parker Industries kind of expanding and explaining how we get to this point where it's a global brand. You know, there's a lot of cool little things that get picked up, like where the former employee, well, not former employees, I guess the employees of Parker Industries that we last saw pre Secret Wars, where they fit into the corporate hierarchy now. And it's kind of cool to see Anna Maria Marconi there, Sajani Joffrey there. And I'm telling you, Dirt, read the main story because you will enjoy the last reveal. So read it through to the end, at least the main story.
So does this have backups for all the Spider satellite titles?
Yes, yes, it does. And the last backup story, spoiler alert, ties into Renew Your Vows.
What? Hmm.
Okay. So is this Spider-Man Inc.?
Like Batman Inc.?
Yeah.
Not really. Hmm. Not really, not really.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Not really.
Okay. Well, outside of that, I feel like this, I don't know, knowing the little bit of the premise, I feel like this is where Peter should have been like years ago.
Yeah, it's a cool place for Parker to be right now. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I got a real kick out of reading this. It felt like I was reuniting with like an old story that I just wanted to pick up on. You know, it's kind of cool that Slott really did kind of pick up a lot of the story threads that were left out there pre-Secret Wars. So I'm telling you, just read it. And like I said, the last backup story is the one that's a real kick in the teeth.
Was there any explanation for why his spider symbol is glowing green and his eyes are glowing green?
I think it's because he redesigned his suit to be a little bit more tech-integrated.
But that wasn't something that was established before this?
No.
Okay.
No. If you read this, there's a lot of advancements that have been integrated in. I mean, if you recall, I forget which writer it was. It might have been Slott, or it might have been during Brand New Day, where they integrated the impact webbing that had been kind of the calling card of the Scarlet Spider into Peter Parker's arsenal.
Well, I mean, he was calling out the charges, the cartridges for the different webs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and that's one thing. I mean, but the point is that that's one thing, and I think that specifically, based off of the tech that basically puts Parker Industries on the map and makes it a global power in terms of the product that it makes. You know, I think that's probably going to play. That obviously plays a role in the first story, but I think that plays a role into how the costume has kind of been enhanced as well.
Wait, wasn't part of that Doc Ock's tech?
No, but that also is a story thread that's picked up on.
Mm.
The nanotech, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
So that's also picked up on. So this is a very, very strong candidate for my Click of the Week pick this week.
I read Doctor Strange before the show started.
This was awesome.
I skimmed it while you were talking earlier.
This was fine, so awesome. I like this. I said this off the air before the show. Chris Boccolo's art has never seemed more apropos. You know, this was just a great story. It sets up a great status quo for Doctor Strange, where we find him as a magic troubleshooter in New York. You know, where we have Jason Aaron sets it up, where people kind of ask Doctor Strange to make house calls to deal with magic maladies. And you know, one of the things that's also established in this is that Doctor Strange kind of meets with other magic users in the Marvel Universe for semi-regular meetings to talk about, you know, to kind of drink and, you know,
Share notes.
Exactly. I was about to say shoot the blankety blank, you know?
Is he a Ghostbuster now?
Not necessarily.
Is he ready to believe?
I was thinking he was I was thinking he was Night Mask.
Possibly that too. Possibly that too. Although, Tim, you may have to vouch for me. One of the creepiest things that I've seen in comics in a while was in this book towards the end. Spoiler alert. It made my skin crawl. No. It made my skin crawl. It was in the main story. It made my skin crawl. It was the Roddy, you didn't read it, right?
Oh, no. The girl that goes to the
where it happens to be where she happens to be affected, that image creeped me the hell out. Gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh,
I can see that.
Heebie-jeebies. So, but I like this book. I like the setup. I like Boccolo's art. It's not as strong a candidate for Click of the Week, but it was pretty good. Oh, and the backup story is it basically helps to set up the coming big bad of the opening arc.
Yeah, it was fine. I'll stick through the first arc. I'm sure I'll probably keep reading for educational purposes and whatnot, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of iffy so far on it. I do like Aaron's voice for Doctor Strange.
Yes.
That's good, but I need to see how they're going to handle this magic deal. Let's see.
That's it. I was about to say, I picked up Contest of Champions without any intention of reading this.
Same here.
I like the hip hop cover.
I'm gonna read it, but
I would say give it a shot.
You know what? I'll probably end up liking it because I like both creators on this, Al Ewing. Paco Medina. So at least it'll be a nicely written, beautifully drawn comic. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I've said in the past, like the reason why I picked it up outside of the cover was I'm a fan of the whole Contest of Champions. Events when they've happened. So, which by the way, they did put the trade back out for sale digitally. And I know, and as a matter of fact, I saw
trade for what
the original Contest of Champions, right? Yeah. And
it was an original book.
Yeah, there was actually two of them. There was the original one, and then there was another one with some other odd characters, and then this one. And I think there's been a couple of times where they've used the same premise in a couple of side events. But yeah, so. I've always enjoyed that, and I'm looking forward to digging in for this one. Like I said, I skimmed it earlier, and looks like we're doing. We got a British Punisher, apparently.
Yep.
So I guess that's what we'll be following. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. What else we got?
I think that's everything I've read this week.
Yeah, that covers most of what I read. I loved some of the stuff I read this week. You know, made it fun. You know. Oh, by the way. It's kind of a back issue thing as well. Group number 5. Didn't group number 4 just come out?
Wait, I thought the group 5 was
I thought
this
5
one.
Came out.
I don't know, but didn't group number 4 just come out also? Or maybe I read group number 4 as a back issue. It's only been a few weeks, I think. I don't think it's been a full month.
Mm. Okay.
But or it may have been. I may have just picked it up, you know, just to read it because I had missed it. But any fan of Uncanny X-Men, specifically some of the Dark Phoenix issues, will recognize some of the homages that Jeff Loveness and the artist Brian Kessinger put into this book that evoke imagery specifically from certain parts of the Dark Phoenix saga, where basically Wolverine is alone in the depths of the Hellfire Club. If anyone remembers those stories or has ever read that in a trade, there's a couple of really great, homages to that in this book. Basically, this is the wrap up to a group finding Rocket Raccoon, who's been kidnapped because there's a bounty on Groot, if I recall correctly. I'm even having trouble remembering what the whole point of the kidnapping was, but they've been reunited in this, and they successfully reunite, and it's just a fun book. It's very kid-friendly. The kids will not recognize the homage to Uncanny X-Men, but for someone with a little bit of a deeper knowledge and history of comics, they'll see that and just kind of laugh and just, I just had a great big smile on my face when I saw this. So when you open this book, and I know you guys have our academic copies, our academic review copies of number 4, if you flip right to the end of it, you'll probably recognize the panel I'm referring to.
Four came out the first week of September.
Oh, okay, so it has been a month. Wow, time has flown.
Oh, there was a Luke Cage variant of Contest of Champions that I almost picked up, but it was like I have spent too much already.
I've been there. right. Cool.
Clips
cool,
of the
cool.
week.
Amazing Spider-Man number one. Easy peasy for me.
Did anybody read Jughead?
Haven't read that or Paper Girls yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I read Paper Girls.
Oh, how was that?
It's fine. I mean, it's basically 80s movie kids in a situation over their heads that's kind of crazy out there. No one will believe them. But, you know, it's teenagers being teenagers, getting caught up in something. And I don't know. It was fine for what it was. If you're looking for a throwback to those 80s coming-of-age type films, I mean, that's what it is.
You want to see a dead body?
I don't think there's a dead body in this one, no. But it did create some controversy for using an F-word.
Really?
And, yeah, and not the F-word you're thinking of.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, now I'm going to have to read this.
What about those What If Infinities?
They're on my list to read.
I didn't read those. By the way, Secret Wars number 6 was a very, very close second for a click of the week for me.
My click of the week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 15.
Nice!
Who knew? Such a big week.
Nice.
Go back to the previous cover. No, go back again. That one, yeah. That's the one I want for the my click symbol.
Oh, okay.
Click of the week.
Nice.
Don't mind.
That is a cool cover.
Well, that is, if you take the last, I think, 4 issues, you put them all together, it's one big panoramic.
Oh, it's like a gate, not even a gatefold, but I see.
Yeah, yeah, it's a connecting.
Gotcha. Covers.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with Secret Wars. I mean,
nice.
As soon as I read it, wherever I can find it, as soon as I read it, I just knew, like, that's it. Like, that's, in fact, I got, you know, again.
You got the Daredevil?
I got the action figure cover, but it was just one of those things that, it's the same way I felt with reading Justice League the week before. It's like, I got done with it, and I'm just like, you know, yeah, go, break stuff, let me see what happens, you know.
I definitely understand that. I enjoyed that, too. It was very good. Roddy, you're up.
Yeah, I kind of want to follow him up on that one, because it really was a good book, but I'm going to go with Lando. Okay.
I thought you were going to choose Siege number 4 because of
it was that, too. Yeah, you
know, that was so. Honestly, I still laugh when I think about that with that pet, the scenes with the Lightning Cannon hitting the Marvel zombie.
Yeah, I mean, it was, that one was also up there too. Like I said, it was kind of having a hard time trying to figure which one to do. But I figure, you know what, Lando's going out with a bang and enough of a bang.
Nice,
slightly edges out.
Cool.
All right.
So that's
befitting. I was about to say befitting a big week like this. We have an extra long show, extra size, super size show.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was this late.
Because we're having so much fun talking about this.
I'm probably being way too loud. I woke up everybody in the house.
That's how much we enjoy comics.
Seriously, I hope Classic doesn't have to cut this into part one and part two.
He'll be
fine. No, he probably won't.
All right, so make sure to go. Oh, and also make sure to go to the New York Comic Con 2015 live blog on theclicknation.com/NYCC2015. Keep up with all the announcements and news and so forth throughout the rest of the weekend.
Right, and if you're looking for me at New York Comic Con this weekend, I'm going to try to pass through tomorrow night before the New York Mets take on the LA Dodgers. And I'll be there all day Saturday and parts of Sunday, so tweet at me at @agent_70.
Sports.
Let's see. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm @TimDogg98 and @CBCron. Follow CBCron for your live tweets of the comic book show TV shows. Roddy Cat is @RoddyCat and @NewsNerdsNeed.
That's me.
Dirt is @PCN_Dirt and PopCultureNetwork.com. And Agent 70 will be at Comic-Con, like you said, @Agent_70. I'm going to go ahead and holler at @MattWang97 as well.
Is like Daniel or Classic going? Do we know?
I don't think Classic is going. I think I saw somebody reached out to Classic and I think he said he's not going. I may have heard that on the Classic team-up talking about going to RetroCon. I think that's the con that he made his way to this week.
Yeah, I need to check out all the Classic team-ups. All right, so enjoy your New York Comic-Con, people, and we'll be back next week to recap everything that happens after the show airs. We are Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Goody. Hey! Would you believe it's time?